when I find myself wishing we had a few readers for our scriptures who don't read as well as Larry Anthony and just about most of the rest of our readers read. Because there are some Sundays when I'm not sure I really want to hear the scripture reading very clearly. And this is one of those Sundays. I'm not sure that I, or most of us probably, really want to hear Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38 very clearly. But just to make sure that we do, I've put all the really difficult parts on the front of your pew leaflet this morning. And I'm going to read them to you again because I want us to feel the weight of these words from Jesus, who gave his vision for what a truly human life looks like in Luke chapter 6 when he instructed his followers to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, smack them back, no. Offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive. Give. If you don't hear those words as an enormous challenge in your heart, then either you're a vastly better person than I am, which I'm sure is probably true, but either you're a vastly better person than I am, or you're just completely deluded and living in some kind of strange fantasy land of denial. These are difficult and challenging instructions. In the parallel version in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 5, just to make absolutely sure that we don't miss the point, Jesus concludes this teaching by summing it all up, saying simply, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yes, you go first, okay? And to be perfect means we're going to love our enemies. And you know, most of us, we may not go all the way to enemies because, I mean, seriously, how many enemies do most of us really have? But we sure do have people who irritate us. Well, I do. I bet some of you do too. And you got to love them too, because there's a great spectrum, isn't there, from those you love passionately and absolutely all the way to enemies. And I think everybody in between is included. Those who are irritating, those who cut you off in traffic, those who vote wrong in the elections, those who get elected to public office in the in places, and you know, all those people, love them. And you go, oh, well, come on, let's be serious. Really? Surely to goodness, the preacher can get up on Sunday and translate his way out of this problem, can't he? Or couldn't we say, well, you know, he just kidding. Jesus was just exaggerating, right? He was just trying to make a point. But make no mistake about it, this is the standard. This is the vision. This is the goal that Jesus had. This is, in fact, the life that Jesus lived. Jesus lived a life of forgiveness, compassion, self-giving, and a life in which he did not use, you know, there's a story in all the Gospels, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is about to be arrested. The legions have come to take him. And one of his followers pulls a sword out. And Jesus says, "Put your sword away." And then Jesus says, "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me 12 legions of angels?" Now, I don't know what 12 legions of angels look like, but what that means, what Jesus intended to indicate there, is that the power in that story lay with Jesus, and he chose not to use it in his own defense. He didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to go through this passion and this horrifying rejection and pain and injustice and suffering. And he could have stopped it. And he chose not to. On the cross, Jesus looks down at his persecutors and he says to God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is painful. It's not easy to forgive when we've... If you want to see an example of the painfulness of forgiveness and the struggle of forgiveness and an amazing luminous vision of forgiveness, you need to go on Netflix, which is the source of all wisdom and truth in life now. And there's a movie on Netflix. It's a German-French film called Franz, F-R-A-N-T-Z. And in that film, a truly excruciating and agonizing situation is set up just following the First World War. And you have to watch the film and feel it in your heart, feel the tension in your heart. Ask yourself, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in that young woman's situation? How are you going to respond? And you need to know that partway through the film, she goes into a church, a Roman Catholic church, and she sits in the confessional and she consults the priest. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this can't go well. This has got to be bad. He's a priest. It's a church. This film was just made. It's going to be horrible. And you watch and see what he says to that young woman and see what the outcome is. I don't want to spoil it for you. Forgiveness is hard. Not condemning is hard. Not judging is hard. Lending and expecting nothing. Well, I've never lent, so I don't know about that one, but they're all hard. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Give to everyone who begs from you. Not only is it hard, it's not even realistic. It's not even sensible. What do we do? And it's hard not to go away from this passage of Scripture feeling just a tiny bit kind of overwhelmed, sort of burdened by this extraordinary vision. But I think you would not be well served to leave here this morning feeling utterly crushed. You know, it's not the goal. So I think what we need to do is we need to take into heart a verse that I haven't put on the front of your pew leaflet this morning, but it's probably the key to the whole thing. Verse 36, Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Jesus says, "Be merciful." So that's hard. I'm not sure I can do that. But then he adds, "Just as your Father, God is merciful. At the heart of this passage is the awareness that Jesus had that God is merciful. So what does that mean? Well, at the very least, it means that the heart of the universe is forgiveness. And that we can look at this list and we can say, failed at that one. In fact, I just failed at them all. Every day. 3 or 4 times. And I know in my heart that forgiveness is extended to me in my failure. I know that my failure is not the end of my life. I know that my failure is not the end of the universe. I know that we gather here together in this place as nothing but a group of failures. Welcome to the club. If you haven't seen your failure in this list, well, come and see me later and I'll show you somewhere that you've failed in that list. I'm pretty sure I could find something. We fail. We don't measure up. Paul says, all have sinned. All have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. If this is the standard, we fail. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. That's why we have this confession thing. Every Sunday, you bring this, your whole portmanteau of failures, and you dump it on the table here, and I stand up afterwards and I say, it's okay. You're forgiven. That's my job. My job is to remind you that over and over and over and over again, the slate is wiped clean, and we start afresh. Every day. That's the nature of life. But I think there's something a little bit more going on here too. The word mercy is very interesting, the English word mercy. It's got a very complicated history. If you want to, you have to consult our resident Latin expert here. Dale's our Latin expert, and she'll tell you all about the root, I'm sure, of the word mercy and its connections. It's really fascinating. You should look it up. It's amazing. It's quite a word. So it's connected to commerce, and it's connected to merchandise. Connected to mercantile, to do with money. Jillian Fosdick, who used to work here, when she worked here, and whenever we got in a swivel about money, she would always say, money is just the energy it takes to get things done. I like that. Money is just the energy it takes to get things done. You know, when we talk about money, we talk about cash flow. And we talk about currency. And we talk about keeping the money moving. Keeping money in circulation. Money is about flow and circulation and movement and energy. Commerce. Mercy. Some of us on Thursday morning have been reading a book called The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr. We're very near the end. We started on February the 16th, 2017. We're slow readers. 2 years we've been reading this book. And I don't actually think we're going to finish it because we're going to do something different this coming week. So we may never get to the end. But the book is it's Richard Rohr's book on the Trinity. And what he argues in this book is that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the basic paradigm of the universe. And what he says is that in the Trinity, what you see is a circulation. You see a flow. You see love pouring out from Father to Son to Spirit and back into Father and into creation and into all of life. And what he argues is that there's an energy field, a force field of life that we live in. And the nature of that energy, the nature of that force field is what we call love and identify in Christian tradition as the nature of God seen to us, seen by us in the person of Jesus. Richard Rohr says, we see this flow in the attraction of all beauty, in all admiring, in all ecstasy, in all solidarity with any suffering. Anyone who fully allows the flow will see the divine image, even in places that have become ugly or undone. He says, all is whole and holy in the very seeing, because you are standing inside the one flow of love. Love is the ground of all being, out of which all things, and especially all good things, come. It is the creative force of the universe. The river is already flowing, and you are in it, whether you are enjoying it or not. You just have to let go of whatever is within you that is saying no to the flow, judging it as impossible, or of any shame that is keeping the indwelling spirit from guiding you. The great flow makes use of everything, absolutely everything. Even your mistakes will be used in your favor if you allow them to be. That's how good God is. That, for Richard Rohr, is the fundamental nature of the universe. It's all about this energy field of life and light and love. And the problem is we fail to see that hidden reality. We get all hung up on forms. We get all hung up on externals. We get all hung up on how it looks and how it's performing and how it's achieving. We get all hung up on that horizontal dimension. But we come here to be reminded that there is an inner secret hidden reality of beauty, life, and love that is the energy field of the universe. And so Jesus concludes saying, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Enter into that flow of mercy. Enter into that power of presence and love and light that is the goodness, peace, mercy, and grace of God. Keep the vision. Keep the vision of loving your enemies. Keep the vision of doing good to those who hate you. Keep the vision of blessing those who curse you and praying for those who abuse you. Keep the vision of forgiveness. Know that you'll fail and surrender yourself to that power that embodies this grace and mercy of light and love. So just before we started this morning, you guys were singing, O Lord, Have Mercy. What was that for? Are we going to sing that later? Oh, can we sing it later and now? Okay, let's sing it now. Because I guess we did have a little bit of conversation about what music you were going to pick this morning, but I sure didn't know you were going to pick this. So just let's sing it for a while, sit and listen, and just recognize that the only vision is to give yourself to this flow of mercy, to give yourself this life of love and light. It's not to measure up to some standard, but it's to enter into the river and give yourself to that power of love and mercy. Have you got it there, David? Maybe you don't. Well, just start. He'll find it. Here it comes. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
see.